Anybody else going to show up to make them mad too?
I don't know. Richards is going to show up. Call him this morning.
You did make sure. Hi there. How are you?
Morning.
Yeah. How are you?
Hey. How you doing this morning?
Good.
I'm sorry.
We're going to put you in the beginning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We'll go right there.
That's another story. This is supposed to wash right out.
You're kidding.
We're going to work on it again.
Oh, my goodness.
Less than 5 minutes. For a friend. Just to wash right out.
Such a teenager.
It's really, I know. Like I'm some old woman trying to be 16. Isn't that just great?
What was that for?
It was at the Krannert Guitar Fest.
Was it Thursday? No. Next week, Tuesday.
And a friend, a girl from our church.
That'll be a
there was nobody in line to do the hair.
Only one direction.
And she goes, Beth.
Really? Yeah, they're not going to do both directions.
They're in the tattoo line and all these other
lines.
And I'm so upset. I said, the first thing is, like, does this come out of my hair?
Yeah. I think so.
No, it does not.
I don't know what time at night, but yeah, it's not all day.
You
want to go this time.
It went fine. It was quick.
I know, because I looked at
it. They're putting the moratorium of all RLAs on the next agenda for Patsy. So that group that's been talking, you know, against the Joneses, now they've formed a resolution that they want ELEC to pass. That's going to have a moratorium
about a million
of RLAs
bucks or something
on
more for some ridiculous thing to straighten it out, and they had the plans all drawn to straighten it out.
It
won't pass. And next thing I know, they're drawn plans to put it back
it on
where
the
it was.
Agenda for the next.
You would have thought if I straightened it out, it would have.
It took more right away. They had to do more road configuration stuff.
The right away thing is probably always an issue.
They would have had to go all the way, I think, back to the bar. You know, to straighten out the road. You know, I don't know how far they had to go towards 150, but
it don't make any difference. People keep parking their cars in that little lake anyway.
Yeah, that's okay, it's 9 o'clock. We call the meeting to order. And roll call.
Carter.
Did.
Alex. Jay.
Here.
Michaels. Mitchell.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Richards.
Here.
Coerts.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Okay. need approval of the agenda and the agenda.
So moved.
Okay, if it moves a second. Any discussion?
We'd just like to move that rural transit item to actually slip in at item number 7 so that Rita can get out of here. The addendum.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Do we have any public participation? Okay, seeing we need the approval of the minutes for August 9th, 2013.
So moved.
I'll second.
Awful quiet.
Okay, it's been moved in second. Okay, any discussion?
In the minutes, Beth, there's a few times where the acronym TART, T-A-R-T, shows up. That should actually be T-A-R-P instead of T-A-R-T.
Okay.
So if you change that in those in the minutes.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The next thing we have on the agenda is the County and Township Motor Fuel Tax Claim for August 2013.
Move to put them on, place them on file.
Second. We moved in second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, next thing we have on the agenda will be the addendum for the rural transit service. Could you read them?
Okay. Well, you have in your packet several documents. The first one is the annual report from CREES that goes from July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2013. And you can see in those statistics how the daily average trips per month we have, and also how the trips have been provided in terms of giving priority to medical trips, and then we have other kind of trips disaggregated there. Then this annual report was approved by the Rural Transit Advisory Group, which is a subcommittee of the county board, or a board that was designated by the county board. It was approved last week on Thursday. And you also have the fiscal report that is prepared by CREES, and that is a requirement from IDOT. That's the first thing that we have in the packet. The second document that we have on the packet is the ordinance that we have to have in place to be able to provide service. It's the same as last year, and is basically a document where the county board gives their authority to sign all the contracts and all the required documents from IDOT. The following document is the intergovernmental agreement between Champaign County and Rural Mass Transit District, and it's the same document that you approved last year. The only difference on this document is that we have a 10% increase on funding from downstate operation, and also added two grants that we put together last year that were given to us to provide service between Rantoul and Champaign Urbana, and also to provide service for medical trips for people with that requirement to increase the service. The downside of these two grants is that IDOT approved the operational funding to provide the service, but we didn't get approved for more buses to be used for this. And we are waiting to receive more buses at the end of this year, and hopefully with that we can start providing this service, adding more service. This is the intergovernmental agreement. It's similar to the one from last year. Those are the changes to the intergovernmental agreement. And the last document that we have in the packet is an ordinance, a resolution that is required by IDOT, that once we sign the agreement, we need to get an approval from the county board to accept the, receive the funding. Those are the four documents that you have in the packet that we will need approval to be able to continue providing services. Do you have any questions?
How many buses do we have?
What?
How many excuse me, how many buses do you have?
We have 5 buses at this time, and we are loaning 2 buses from Cruz Rural Mass Transit District. We are scheduled to receive 5 more buses at the end of this fiscal year, at the end of this calendar year, at the end of December, hopefully. And then next year, we are scheduled to receive 2 more buses. Then hopefully by July 1st of 2014, we will have 12.
And who's maintaining these buses for you?
Cruz is the entity who have the buses, but they have a contract with CUNTD, and they give all the maintenance to the buses. And Cruz pay CUNTD for maintaining the buses.
Thank you.
Any more? Jim?
I was just looking at these numbers for Ranto for the fourth quarter. Did they all move to Thomasboro, or is the state sending the money? I mean, are we
Which one? Are you looking at this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
The actual leadership.
On the fourth quarter? Probably that number shouldn't be there. It should be on the Rampo Road. I'll double check on that one.
No one. I didn't actually see the 47 until I looked at it the second time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah, probably should be on the other road.
That's a great job.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Rita. You say it was a 10% increase for the funding from Champagne for Champagne. What about to the riders?
Well, what we are looking is to improve the service, expand the service. But the fees that they pay are subsidized. Then we cannot decrease the fees that they are actually paying at this time.
Okay. Okay, any more discussion? Accepted place on file.
I think it has to go to the board, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
The acceptance on place on file is for the...
Right.
Annual report, but we need to present, according to our bylaws, we need to present it to the county board.
Max, did you want to say something?
I'll just make a motion.
Okay.
If you don't need it, if you need it put on, that's the motion.
Yeah, you need
to
second
it.
Yeah.
Make a motion. You second it?
Yeah, Max is moving on second.
Okay. So, before any discussion,
Bridget and...
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's the motion?
Accepted.
Send the ordinance to,
okay.
On the agenda.
Yeah. Accept the report and send the other two items to the county board.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the next thing we have is the Illinois Public Work Network, Illinois Public Work Mutual Aid Network presentation and discussion.
All right, well, Barb from the city of Urbana is here. She's one of the hot shots at IPW, man.
Hot shot.
She's going to give us a presentation on this mutual aid network.
Thank you very, very much for letting me come to talk to you today. As Jeff mentioned, I am a hot shot. I'm the secretary treasurer for this statewide organization, and I have been since before it was actually even formally created. I am very passionate about it, so I may tend to go on and on about it, so I apologize for that if it happens, but I'll go through this slide presentation and let you know that I have not lost any members after a slide presentation. So nobody has seen it and said, well, we're getting out of it now. But anyway, one of the things about disasters is that you really can't anticipate when they're going to occur. And if we could schedule disasters, that would be ideal, and we could figure out, you know, where the manpower is going to be and the resources and budget for it. And we can't do that. So... We had a long history of getting this group together. It started in different parts of the states and different parts of the state in different ways. So I will tell you my version of how IPW Man started. The cities of Champaign, Urbana, and the village of Savoy went to Decatur in about 2005 to help when they got hit with a pretty significant ice storm. Did Champaign County go too?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we participated in this, and we helped them. FEMA came in, and they said we would be giving reimbursement to the city of Decatur, and the city of Decatur was talking about the amount of money that the cities of Champaign-Urbana and the village of Savoy had donated towards the cleanup operation. And they said, well, where's your signed mutual aid agreement with Champaign-Urbana and Savoy? And I said, well, we don't have it. We help each other out all the time. We've gone to Springfield. We've gone to the along Mississippi to help. We've never signed an agreement. And they said, you have to have a signed agreement. And it took a lot of discussion, and the FEMA representatives finally said, this is the last time that we will ever accept that handshake agreement. It has to be in writing. So here in Central Illinois, we started to discuss more of a regional type mutual aid organization where we could respond and help other agencies out. We have been doing it forever, but FEMA is saying that we needed to have a signed agreement. I'm showing you some pictures of what wind can do. And if you notice in some of these pictures that even though it looks like you can just, you know, go in and clear out the debris, things will be over, there's some public works aspects of it that are long-lasting. Notice the sidewalk is heaved up in that. So even after they get that tree removed, they're going to have to come in and do additional work. We've found that public works responders are usually, or the highway department, road, I'm probably saying wrong terms, but anyway, public people that do public works duties are usually the first ones in because they're cleaning up the debris to make sure that the police and fire can get in. And they're usually one of the last ones there because there's damage that's to the infrastructure that is going to take, going to have to be replaced even after trees and water recedes. All of this thing is all these things are taken care of. So we got together with some other regions of the state, and we worked out what we thought was the perfect plan for public works. We were sponsored by the AWWA, which is the American Water and Wastewater Association. We were all set to unveil our program, and they said, well, wait a minute. We only want agencies that deal with water and wastewater in this organization. Well, Urbana does not have its own water and wastewater, so it really wouldn't be worthwhile for us to be in this. So we quickly formed our own committee, and by this happened in 2008, and by 2009 we became an incorporated agency with three members. We had Stevenson County, which is up in the far north end of the state. We had the village of Wakanda, which is part of the suburban Chicago, and we had the city of Urbana. And we have three members. So we now have 186 members, and I'm really proud of that because it's been sort of a slow battle of trying to talk to individual communities to let them know that this is a worthwhile investment. And I hope that I can convince you of this before the end of the day. But if not, I'm more than happy to answer questions. Well, that didn't come out very well. But one of the major questions that we have is how much does this cost? And we have certain things that are we charge membership dues. We had a discussion about do you just wait until the emergency and charge people the cost of the labor and materials, or do you do an annual dues? And the thought behind this was if you're hit with a major storm, the last thing you need is a bill from somebody for $100,000 to pay for the services that they have offered. So we charge annual dues. We have a dispatch center that's a 24-hour, 7 days a week center where if you have an emergency, you pick up the phone, you call, they contact our dispatch officer, and we get the ball rolling to get aid to your community. We offer training programs. We have a conference that's coming up at the end of October. Even if you aren't a member, you're welcome to attend. They have incident, there's a traffic incident management course that we have sponsored. We do training about radios. We've done how to look for resources from different agencies in the state. So we try to provide training programs for our members. We are in the process of trying to get a resource list, but we depend a lot on the local county emergency management agencies for our resources. But we have teams that we have resource lists for those. Our officers have to have liability insurance, and that's about an $850 bill a year that we receive, so that in case one of them, like me, says something really stupid, that we're covered by that. And at this point, we don't have any personnel costs. We are all volunteers. So my boss is nice enough to let me come here to talk to you today. We have people who volunteer as duty officers. The only thing that right now we are growing so much that we are looking at contracting with ILEAS for just mostly administrative assistance. So somebody that does our clerical bookkeeping type work for us. But other than that, we don't have any personnel costs. Here's the big question. What are the fees? So if you look at this, of course, Champaign County would be $500 a year. And I seem to, in my opinion, feel that for $500, you do get quite a bit. I'm going to show you in a slide here and a little bit later on how much some communities have received when they have requested assistance from us. I said before, this is open to any type of an agency that has public works duties and responsibilities. So it can be, we have one water agency that's a member. We have townships, and I'll show you the breakdown of our membership in a few more slides. One right here. I apologize for this, because when I did it on the actual paper, it looks much nicer than this. But the purple, darker purple, those are the number of villages of our 186 members. The majority of them are villages. And the majority of our members, I don't know, is there a map that's in there? Okay.
We've got that in the agenda packet, your graphs that you left.
And the map is there, too. So if you notice up in on the map, and I'll show that in a little bit, too, but most of our membership is where the biggest population of the state is, which is around Cook County and the suburban areas. And most of those communities are villages. So when most of them are villages, that's why that's such a large number. There's only one town, and that's the town of Normal that is a member right now. But that's how it breaks out. Oh, the counties. Up there is 17. When I did this, we had yet to have Cook County and DuPage County as members. And since I did this, which was it a month ago that I came here, Jeff? Mm-hmm. Since then, Cook County and DuPage County have joined. So we now are up to 19 counties that are members. This shows how our membership is broken down by population. And as you notice on there, most of them are smaller communities, but it's a pretty large percentage is up to the 75,000. The reason that I included this slide, we tell when we go to talk to different communities that the size of your community doesn't impact your need. In other words, Cook County, just because it's a big county, doesn't mean that it's never going to need to ask someone else for help. And on the other side of it, we have some pretty small communities such as Ogden. And if Ogden could give us a truck and a person for a day, we could use that help. So the size of a community does not matter as far as our membership is concerned. And if you notice here, this breaks down by region. As I was telling you, the ones that are down here at the bottom are regions 3 and 4, and that's in the Chicago and suburban area. The next highest number of members is that one that's 19, and that's the region that we're in. So out down
regions,
in,
right?
Pardon?
These are FEMA regions? Or
They're based on the FEMA regions,
right,
of the state. And we just parallel with those same regions. But the region that we are in is the next highest as far as the number of members compared to the Chicago and suburban Chicago area. This is a map. I'm sorry these aren't showing quite as well on here as I would like. But this map shows our membership. At the time that this was done, Cook County was not a member, nor was DuPage. But you see, we do have assets across the entire state, both east and west. We go over to Macomb. We go over to Danville. It doesn't show on the map, but Metropolis is interested in joining, and they're way down at the bottom of the state. Stevenson County is way up at the top of the state. So we do have resources in the, across the whole state. Did you have a question, Jeff?
No.
Oh,
no.
I do.
Yes.
What are the communities that are in Champaign County right now?
Right now we have St. Joe, we have Ogden, Savoy, Champaign, Urbana, and Champaign Township. And those are all member agencies. Just in addition to that, I was saying we have Danville as a member. So we have some that are fairly close to us, Bloomington Normal, both of those two communities, Tazewell County, Woodford County, Peoria, Decatur and Macon County, Charleston. So we have some that are in Effingham County, that are within a close drive also. Just real quickly, there's been some national legislation that recognizes public works responders as first responders now. We talked about that we, you know, have gone to these disasters for a long time, and the federal government after 9/11 now recognizes public works employees as first responders, public safety employees with fire and police. The other part of it is that they established the system for responding to emergencies that's called NIMS, the National Incident Management System, that includes Section 4 Public Works as far as responding to a set way to respond to emergencies.
How many of these responders are either volunteers or work for public, your organization? Do you know how many? Or approximately?
I'm not sure I understand the question. We have 106.
You said the definition is now first responders. Mm-hmm. People who could, how many of those are there? Let's say we have an emergency here. How many people can you dispatch to this area to help out?
We have 100. I'll go this way. We have 106 agencies that are members.
Okay.
If we need a huge amount of people to come and respond, as far as I know, they can. We have, for example, if Champaign County would ask Macon County, I'm not saying this the right way. If you would call our duty officer and say that you need assistance and you tell them how many people that you need, they will try to get you as many as they possibly can from all 185 other agencies. So you have that as your resource. They try not to deplete their entire... So, in other words, Urbana wouldn't send all 80 employees to an emergency.
Right.
But they would try to send as many as you need, and because they can draw from all of the members, they can get a pretty large group. I'll give you an example, and maybe this is helpful. Our first response was in... when there was it's not an inland hurricane, but there was a storm that went through southern Illinois in 2009, hit Carbondale, it hit Marion, and they asked us to go down. We sent 26 people down to respond to that, and they were from 18, we had 18 member agencies. Six of those agencies sent down 26 people to help. And they were able, in a week's time, to do as much work as some of the other groups down there did in 30 days. So they're motivated. I'll say that. I hope that helps answer your question. But you have the resources of our entire membership to help you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I read the whole document. That's in here. What do you say?
I'm not deviating from what's in there.
Well, it's kind of lengthy, so when you get through it, you kind of forget the first part. But I read it, and it's quite. First of all, I think if you get in here, you have to have a board, right? Create a board.
Well, we have a board.
I mean, a local. Like the county, if the county wanted to participate.
It would have to go to your county board.
Right.
Yes.
Then you create a system within the county board.
No, you don't need to do that. The only thing that you need to do as a county board is to give someone the authority to enter into the agreement with us. And we don't.
Well, that's got to be somebody with responsibility. That's what I'm saying. You got to have somebody.
I'm not sure.
Or maybe you're saying that was you all board.
Yes, we have a board. That's what is discussed in there. All yeah, right. Yeah. That's okay. And we do have a board. We have two members from each of the FEMA regions, which we were talking about, and then we have an executive board, which consists of a president, vice president, it's now a separate secretary, treasurer, and then there's a past president in that board. So I'm trying to think if that talked about creating a board, because we were in the process when that was first written of creating the board.
Okay. I've noticed that, well, if we be participants, what are our criteria to function?
You have to pay us $500.
Oh, I understand that.
You have to designate three people. It would be from the county highway department.
That's what I was getting.
Oh, okay. There are three people who are authorized to send resources somewhere or to receive resources on behalf of Champaign
County.
That's
what I was getting.
Okay. Okay, good. The other thing that allowed us to organize was the state of Illinois allows government agencies to enter into intergovernmental agreements, sort of you were earlier discussing an intergovernmental agreement. And so you can enter into agreements with other agencies, and that's what gives us the legal background to form. There's also one other agreement that is national, and I've heard now that all states in the United States are part of this. We could be dispatched to respond in another state. And there have been some training exercises that we have done where actually Champaign Township participated in it, and they went to Terre Haute as a practice drill. So that's a possibility. You do not have to, as an agency who's our member, you do not have to respond if you don't want to. So Champaign County is a member of IP. If they became a member of IPWMAN, they do not have to go if they don't choose to. This is just really briefly what our mission statement is. I'm going to say basically what it is to help each other out. And we've been doing it without any legal piece of paper for quite a while, but that's basically what it entails. These are just quickly to run through some times when we might be able to help each other out. Fortunately, the only one that we have not had is earthquakes, and I'm glad that hasn't been one that we've had to deal with yet. But we've had pumps in a treatment plant fail, and we've had people, you know, bring in emergency pumps to help. We've helped sandbag on the Illinois River when just this last spring when Peoria was flooded. We went down to Carterville. We've gone up into northern Illinois to help with cleanup from tornadoes and windstorms. Oh, yeah, and the terrorism event. We haven't had that one yet either, so I'm glad about that. Here's some benefits that you would have as a member of our organization. And I'm showing you, there's assets in all corners of the state of Illinois. The first 5 days of response, whenever we respond to an agency, we do not charge them for the first 5 days that we come in. As I said before, when you're hit with a major disaster, the last thing you need is a bill from somebody to add to the cost that you already have. That's why we collect membership dues. And if you're a responding agency, you're doing this because you want to do it. You're not doing it because you think you're going to get money for it. And you hope that you never have to use it, but if you do, you know that it's available to you. We have a standard operating procedure. We have an operations plan that was developed by someone who worked in DuPage County Emergency Management. And they have a set procedure that we go through whenever there's a request for assistance. And interestingly, Wednesday, the village of Lindenhurst was hit with a microburst. They called our, it's, you know, that storm with heavy winds, and it usually is localized. They called IPW man, and a request for assistance went out Wednesday afternoon. And by 5 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, they said, never mind, we've already got people who are going to come and help from IPW man. So I'm surprised sometimes at how quickly a response is filled. The other thing that I think is extremely important about our group is there is one agreement. We don't have a special agreement with Cook County. We don't have a special agreement with DuPage County. We don't have a special agreement with Decatur. It's all the same. For every agency, they have to sign the same agreement. And we've sort of kind of had a little bit of pushback with that, but it's like, no, we don't make exceptions. There, if you want to be a member, you agree to what we have in our agreement.
And that agreement is in your packet.
The one that you were reading, yes.
Right.
It's the same for everybody. Nobody can come out and say, well, wait a minute. Mine says that we get 10 days free. There is no change in it.
You can. What I see in here, they can, like Rent 2, have a bad one and need more help. They can acquire people from here if agreement is made, but they have to pay them, you know. That's it.
They
I
would
think
be
it's a neighbor, what you call a neighbor.
A neighbor to neighbor. They wouldn't be responding under that agreement. In Champaign County, there already is an agreement that if Urbana went to Rantoul, they could do that. But if it was so bad, take, for example, when the tornado hit in 1996, right, the one that hit the tail end of Urbana and then just completely wiped out Ogden. And so, that's a county emergency. And if you're depending on other agencies within the county, it may be bad enough that you have to go outside of the county. So we do have one within Champaign County. But beyond that, if you need help beyond that, then we only respond to our members because we don't have a legal document with anybody else. So if somebody's hurt or equipment is damaged, we don't have anything covering that if we respond to a non-member agency. And I hate throwing everything at you, but I'm going to throw one more thing at you. There is one time when we would respond to a non-member agency, and that's if the state of Illinois sends us somewhere. If the state of Illinois sends us somewhere, they will pay the cost.
Right.
They will pay the cost at the very beginning of the deployment. Exactly. And if there's equipment that's broken or whatever, then that goes on. It's the state of Illinois that deals with that. So we would respond in that case, but for the most part, we only respond to our members. Here's some more benefits. Any public works-related agency can become a member. We don't isolate it down to cities that have water, wastewater treatment plants, or cities that have their own power plants or anything. Any public works agency can be a member. We are controlled by our member agencies. We are not part of the state of Illinois. Only our members are on our board, and they are the ones who make our rules and our bylaws for our operation. We have a listing of resources. We're recognized by alphabets of the Illinois Emergency Management Association. We have a seat on the Illinois Terrorism Task Force board. ILEAS, just over here, has been really helpful in getting us organized. MAVIS, which is the Fire Department's Mutual Aid Program. CERC, which is the State Incident Response Center. We have a seat on that board. We've gotten support from the Association of County Engineers, the Chicago Metro and Illinois chapters of the American Public Works Association, and other statewide mutual aid organizations like IESMA, and I can't remember all of them to tell you, but there are several others that have been more than helpful in helping us get on our feet and supporting us. And once again, it is driven by public works agencies in establishing the rules and the standards of operation. I was telling you before, it's provided under Illinois law, the authority for us to organize. One agreement only, no changes. It's self-renewing after the first year, so you don't have to continually go back to a board and get approval. As long as you pay membership dues, you're considered a member. And there's no obligation to respond. I said that before. Since 2009, every year we've had a request for assistance. Every time I am humbled by how quickly agencies step up and volunteer to respond. This last April, Northern Illinois was hit very hard by flooding. And I thought, I always tell people, you know, oh, yeah, we always respond. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to take back my words. There was so much need for assistance that I thought we were going to have to say, no, we can't help. And yet agencies came forward. They helped out. And then we got the call from Peoria. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, here it goes. And McComb and Morton were both members, and they went to Peoria to help. So I'm knocking on wood here, but there is no obligation to respond. But for some reason, every single time, people always step up and come and help other communities. There is a possibility of reimbursement after 5 days, but just so you know that if you do participate and you respond, you won't have any guarantee of any money coming back to you. You're doing it because you hope that if that ever happens to you, that you would have the ability to call on resources. And it's non-exclusive. And by that, I mean, we don't say that because you're a member of some other organization that you can't be a member of IPWMAN. And the other organization, I'll mention it by name, is Illworn, and that's the one that we broke away from early on. They deal strictly with water and wastewater. So if you are a member of that organization, you could also be a member of ours. We don't snub anybody because of any other organization they belong to. Reimbursement, again, first 5 days are free. And then it's based on agreement between the responder and the requester, what happens after the 5 days. And this is one thing that I think is important. Usually when you're hit by a disaster, if you are given federal funds, they usually have matching funds. So they will give 75% and the agency will give 25%. You can count the amount of volunteer time IPWMAN gives you as part of your 25%. So if you get $100,000, and we keep records of that, of labor and materials, you can count that towards your 25% of contribution. So that's also a good thing. Again, our regions are split in the same way that IEMA is. We thought that was a good thing to do since they're the ones who respond to emergency events. I don't have this year's, but this is the one slide I was telling you about that I was going to talk about in detail. These are the responses that we have had since our creation in 2009. And if you look at it, the least amount that we've ever donated in services is $1,120 to Lindenhurst. Lindenhurst is a small community. They pay $100 a year. So if you think about it, how long it would take for them to continue to pay $100 a year to, you know, finally be at a point where they're paying more than they are getting. Carterville, the first one that we responded to, they also pay $100 a year. It'll be quite a while before Carterville is finally, you know, paying more than they are receiving. So if there was ever a time when you needed to use the resources, you would more than benefit from assistance. No community is too large or too small. And no community is too small to help. Like I told you, if you could get one person in a truck that could help you for a day, that if you had 10 communities that could do that, you've got 10 people in 10 trucks. That's a lot of help in a disaster. A lot of times when a disaster hits, like I was saying before, if it hits in a county or there's flooding, it's sometimes such that you can't depend on your next door neighbor to help you. And that's one of the benefits that we have as an organization, is that we can go statewide to help with assistance. And we are the first door. I said this last 2 weeks ago, only to find out that I'm not exactly telling you the truth when I say this. New Hampshire also has an agency. Their difference is they have public and private organizations. So if it's someone like Ameren, they're part of their organization. We only are public. So we are sort of kind of the first one in the United States that is solely public mutual aid network for public works departments. I have another whole list of other things that are pretty lengthy about our operations plan, how we respond, and I could go ahead and go on with that, but if I think it would be better if you had questions that I try to answer those. But if you want me to go on, I can. So thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah. Have you all ever reached out to a private sector like Ameren to become part of this? Because I know they go all over the United States.
We haven't because it opens up a whole different issue of liability, overtime, a lot of those different things. And so we are keeping public and just dealing with government agencies helping each other out.
Let me respond. I worked with Ameren in a worst ice storm we had.
1990?
That's
that the
right.
One? Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that was an experience. You out there trying to put up electric boxes and the limbs falling all around.
That was scary.
That I should have taken that. I wish I had a camera. That was like something you see in the movie. Everything was lit up with ice. Transformers were popping. And that was ridiculous, but Amber was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And see, both things like that, your insurance take care of it. So Ameren supplied the boxes, but the other part went to the homeowner,
mm-hmm.
and the insurance covered. So you worked that way with Ameren.
They
respond automatically. On an emergency like that, their responsibility is to restore power.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would be side by side with anything else that we're doing.
Right.
So, It wouldn't be necessary to have a special agreement with them. They're automatically on the job.
Right. And the other, there's also kind of this issue of they're a for-profit,
right.
We're a not-for-profit. They're motivated to get online as quickly, to
right.
get back online as quickly as possible because that's their profit. And not that we aren't
right.
motivated by profit, but it's just two different ways of approaching it. So that's why we're on a little bit different playing field than they are.
One of the other things to keep in mind about the deployment, you're not obligated to go out to assist, but likewise, once you're out in the area assisting, you're not required to be there the full 5 days.
Right.
So that you are, if things back here become a priority, you can pull your people back after a day. So you're not locked in for 5 days out there in the field.
Yes, I'm sorry.
This is probably a question best directed to Jeff, but what if you, your assets, if you sent something out, what would your cost per day be?
Depends on how many.
Well, if you had one truck, one person.
One truck.
Our cost? Because there is a fee schedule for renting of equipment that IDOT uses, and I don't, is that what you guys use when you start?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So, which is much higher than what our actual costs are. You know, our guys are getting paid $25 an hour, and our trucks are probably at a $60 to $80 an hour. So you're looking at $100 an hour, roughly, plus fuel. Our cost to send somebody to help, you know, so in a day you might spend $1,000 sending
yeah.
one person.
Okay.
I don't know. Mr. Carter is on the committee, so.
Well, I'm talking to both of you chairmen.
Okay.
You all know I've been talking about this quite a while. Because we don't have nothing in place if we have a disaster.
Yes, we do. I'm sorry, Mr. Carter. We have emergency management response across the county. We'll be having next Friday morning, we'll be having a mock drill. We'll be called in, all of the entities, the policy committees, and the board will be called in, all of the elected officials, and me as chief elected official, I'll be called in for the emergency power to move equipment and move people in the case of emergency. So Champaign County has a very, very sophisticated emergency response to anything that happens, whether it be a natural disaster or not. We're there ready to go.
Okay. Fine. This is the first time I heard of this. Now, people asking me right now, if we have a disaster, where do we go? I got a bunch of trailers parked. And that's the question they are asking me. If we have a disaster, what cover do we take? Now, when I was a kid, the sign was all over Champaign. But you'd have about 20,000 people in Champaign, they would tell you where to go to the shelter. You don't have that anymore.
Well, we have it in technology now. We have radio, we have TV, we have email, texts. There are so much there, and all of those will be utilized in an emergency.
Well, they need to know this. This is what I'm saying, and what you are saying, I'm just here.
What we don't have, obviously we have the internal stuff, but what we don't have is if a tornado comes through and rips down buildings at the U of I, takes out stuff in the county and both cities, obviously we can't go help the U of I, and Urbana can't come help us. So we need somebody from someplace else that didn't get hit to come help. And that's what this would do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think this isn't between an agreement between us and your organization, but it would be something to think about within the confines of the county. Is you might want to budget X amount of dollars for X amount of days so that you're an equal player with the organization, so that so that you're not receiving always, that you're going to be being able to give out your assets.
Well, it's basically personnel and equipment, which we have, and we're going to pay for it whether we're sealing cracks on a road or we're going to help somebody clean up trees from a tornado. So it's not anything beyond. We're not going to be going and buying materials to haul to these places to help them out. It's basically time and equipment, which we have. The only cost that would be beyond our normal everyday is probably fuel if we have to go a long distance.
And hopefully, as we get more members, I was telling you about our first deployment was to Carterville and Stevenson County, which is up in the far northern edge of the state, was one of our members. And so they took people from Stevenson County down to Carterville. And at that time, we really wanted to show what we could do. It was our first deployment, and we wanted to show what we could do. So we had people from Villa Park and Stevenson County, Champaign-Urbana, Macomb. I'm trying to think there was one other community. And we all went down there. And, of course, it was extraordinary circumstances because we didn't have anybody who was south of Champaign-Urbana as a member. So that was unique that we went down there and that we had longer days than what we normally would. But what I'm trying to get back to is we now have enough membership that's sort of spread across the state that for the most part a response would be, you organize in the morning, it's your start time, you go to the community, and then before the end of the day you come back so that there's not overtime involved in that.
I'd like to say something. Mr. Carter was talking about shelter. When you have disasters, where will you go?
Right.
Yeah, and that's not anything.
We don't
that. This is a different. That's a different subject, which we can discuss.
But wait a minute. If you have a disaster, what is a disaster that tears up your home? Did you see the picture up there?
Yes, but it has to do with what their services are. Their services aren't shelter. Their services are bringing people in and equipment to help in that
issue. Well, Mr. Chung, wouldn't that be a part of that?
It would be, but it would be separate from what they do.
Huh?
It's separate from what they do.
They respond as far as cleaning up and stuff like that. Not
that's another subject that needs to be discussed, but it doesn't pertain to this organization. They don't do that kind of work.
Well, I see it here where it said tornado, disaster.
Yes, and that's what they're responding
to. Don't all of that fit together?
Yes. It does.
Yes.
But
they don't do shelter.
I didn't say what they do, okay. But look, if you had a disaster, you got to take care of the people.
That's what Al was saying. That is something that the county has to do.
Exactly.
I'm just bringing the issue up.
I understand. That's a good issue.
That's all.
It's an important issue. Shelter, of course.
Right. But just like, now, we lucky. I have stood out in my yard many times, and we lucky. We down in a hole. And most of these storms passed over us. We had three one night. Two of them went by out here where this big shopping center used to be. I had my little grandson. We had to get back in there, waiting to win. Two of them went, one went right over us. One went close to you all. The other one went to St. Joe's. We've been lucky. And that's been happening a lot of times. Now, if that get down in here, I told her, if it get down in here, she's going to run. Now, I've been told that. You're going to have a trouble. Yeah, because it can't get out. Right. And I've been bringing up just like the mall. We were supposed to build a mall years ago. What happened to it? Now, if something happened, where are you going to put all those folks? Where are you going to put them? We don't have no place for that.
That's what Al is saying, that we can have that discussion.
I'm just raising it again, Mr. Chairman. Okay. I'm just bringing it back up.
Ask for it to be on one of the agendas.
Well, that's been years ago I brought this up, and nothing's been done yet.
Well, now is the time.
Yeah. So I'm just reminding them again about it. That's all.
The membership doesn't seem to be prohibitive, but I think maybe having a line item in the budget, whether you use it or not, and decide how many man hours, how many days, how many assets you'd want to put forth, so that we know that in a year you could spend X amount, whether it's used or not. But I think that would be important in the decision making.
Yep.
Okay, Al.
Yeah, thanks. I think bottom line, this is an excellent organization for very little money at this point.
It is.
Okay. And I think a motion to have this on our agenda for further discussion before the entire board
would certainly be something that
we need to do, and certainly it would help if in that discussion we can also move to sheltering and other things. But I think this organization deserves our attention, and I'll leave it to the committee to make a motion to bring it up on the county board's
Thank
agenda.
You very much, Mr.
Okay, sir.
Bob, you can go on with your presentation.
Well, anybody have any questions? I would be happy to answer them. Yeah.
No, I'm good. Time-wise, it's just...
Yeah, and I was just going to say that, this is basically, for the most part, the end of...
Now, is this another document that the state have, the Illinois Public Work Manual Aid Network?
This is the organization that the Illinois Public Works Mutual Aid Network is not a state organization, but it's a statewide organization.
Okay, do you have a manual that has some rules in it?
Yes. It is on our website.
We'd like to have that.
Okay.
Please, ma'am.
I will do that. I have it with me. No, I don't have it with me. We have bylaws.
Right.
And we also have a policy and procedure manual. All of those are on our website, but I can get those to Jeff. And
beautiful.
And I'm trying to think what else that we would have besides
I can go on the website and forward it to
to them.
Okay. So it's our bylaws and policy and procedure manual. The policy and procedure manual deals with things such as reimbursement. We have a contact. We list all of our members, and we have one of the policies is you can't distribute it to somebody who sells asphalt or anything like that. So we do have some policies and procedures also.
I appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Sure.
All right.
But they're available on our website, so they're open to anybody. And our operations plan would also be a good thing, because that tells how you request assistance.
Right. I'm not too good on the way up yet, but I'm learning.
Well,
it's going to take me a class.
Would you be able to come to our county board meeting and give a presentation to the full board?
I would be happy to do that. Do you have a date that...
I would ask that, because I know the question is going to come up at the county board meeting as the state's trying
right.
to look at the agreement, which trying to get that done between now and the September board meeting.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
So if you want to recommend this to the county board, that it be like the October meeting.
Yeah, the agreement will have to go through our state's attorney. So.
Yes, that's right. Fine. I know it's gone through a lot of attorney eyes. So I understand that completely, yes.
Yeah. So, and so you all know, Shane Cook, John Dwyer, all the people who are emergency management people were the ones that brought this, you know, to my eyes, even though the County Engineers Association has been heavily involved in it. They are very... They would really like to see the county involved in this.
Right.
So this isn't just an initiative through the highway department, but it's also through our emergency management people and our sheriff's department as well.
I think we have to look past the dollars. What we got to look at is people helping people. This is our neighbors. These are our families. Whether we help here locally or we help at the next county, it's important to know that there'll be a hand by someone else to help when a disaster hits. We're all part of the same family when a disaster hits.
That's old Lord saying.
Absolutely, and I agree with Mr. Carter on that 100%. And so I think when we look at it, the $500 certainly is inconsequential. Mm-hmm. The equipment, I think, to help someone else, and they would respond to us.
Exactly.
I think that's what the key purpose of this organization
is,
and I think that's certainly worthwhile.
It's
helping people. That's what it comes down to.
It's in here.
And the reason it has to be on paper now is because of...
everything's got to be on paper.
So,
all right, so that's...
But, yeah.
It doesn't have to be declared a disaster by the state or the feds for this to kick in.
Right.
That is correct.
But if the state declared your township or county a disaster... I think you would get some relief from that.
You'll get some aid financially.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But in smaller disasters where that wouldn't kick in, this organization...
Hope we don't have a
business. This organization would. So,
we're
covered on a lot of and a lot of fronts.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You had the motion. Did you make a motion, Jim?
Yes.
I make a motion. Second. Jay is second.
I didn't second.
I second.
Okay, then motion is second. Any more discussion?
I would ask that motion send it to the October meeting.
October board,
Okay.
That's okay.
That's fine. Okay, send it to the October board meeting. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Do we know when that meeting is, for Barb's sake? Is it the 17th of October? What is the set?
No, it's the 24th. It's the 24th. It's the day I come back from my vacation.
Yeah, you're right. 24th.
It's the 24th, right? I'll be back
so
for that.
So the 24th. Oh,
and Madam Chair, we'll need to send the document to the state's attorney. Would you please forward that to Julia Reitz or to Bob Mann, who's our civil
attorney.
Bob Mann. So that they can clear it and send it back to us by then. Thank you.
Maureen, I can do that.
Would you do that, Beth?
Oh,
okay, Beth will take care of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Did we have a vote?
Do we have a vote?
We voted?
We already voted.
Passed.
missed it.
Okay. It's okay. we move like a ghost in the night.
Wake me up when I'm
okay.
Trying to figure out when the county board meeting is.
Okay. Well, we're changing our cover meeting right here on our agenda. So.
Yeah, that's the next item on the agenda. I've got a conflict on the 11th, so does Deb Busey. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to have a lot of items for an October Highway Committee meeting, but I would like to move it tentatively to October 4th. I think that's okay.
Is that taken from somebody? Did somebody second it? Okay, moved and second to go to October 4th. All in favor, say aye.
All right. Can I ask for an excused absence? I was not going to be able to go to the 11th or the 4th.
You have to bring a note.
It's like on a Friday, the 4th on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Coming up quick this time.
You know, if you don't have business, we don't have to have a meeting.
I know. Yeah. But something may come up, and I'll let you know a couple weeks ahead of time if I don't believe we're going to need a meeting. I'd like to have one set.
Okay. The next thing is annual review of the closed session minutes.
I have that. David DeThorne from the state's attorney's office reviews the closed session minutes, and he didn't have any additional changes from his recommendations in March. So the highway closed session minutes will stay closed.
Okay. On the consent agenda.
The rural transit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the rural transit item. Going on the agenda. Okay, that's it.
I just want to give an update, may I, on the IDOT highway situation.
Okay.
Jeff and I will be presenting to the multi-governmental agencies where we stand on the highway funding. I'll just update you where we are right now. We received back a second letter after our response to their first letter, giving us the same generalizations of their reasoning as to why we were so low in our highway dollars. We're working now on responding to that letter. They talked about safety. They talked about some other vague criteria that they use, which makes no sense because there's nothing, you know, they can use that as their reason for the discrepancy in those dollars. I sent out a letter, which I will certainly share with this committee and the board, to the governor of the state of Illinois concerning those. We are now working on those generalizations to make them specific, like safety, right? Yeah. Now, they talked about 60% or 65% of their criteria is based on safety. Well, in our area, we have one of the worst accident-prone highways in the state of Illinois. The I-57, I-74 interchange is in the top 5% of all accidents in the state of Illinois, which is right outside of our city here. There are 16 conflict areas within that one I-75, I-74, getting on and getting off. Over 335 accidents occurred just at that one site. We've had 4 deaths and a number of very serious critical injuries in the dozens. We also have found that in our entire district, we had like 21, was it, deceased? 45 deceased accidents.
Last year.
In 1 year here in our district. We're putting all that together again, and we will be sending that letter out once we get all the data in, and we've asked other engineers and other of our counties within District 5, within District 7, to make sure that we have all the data we need to send back another letter. So I'm not going to let it rest. We're going to try and do what we can to get enough funding here so that we have some safe highways, and they don't hurt our economic viability and the safety of our community. So that's where we are right now on those.
I got a little something to tell you that is, if I have the, out in St. Joe, I don't know what it is, but you remember what, how many cars? I never seen nothing like that. Those cars would go and jump up on top of each other. And it was stacked up, looked like three high. Anybody remember that? You remember that?
No, I don't.
Well, anyway, I was working in Danville my last 2 years, I mean 10 years of my working tenure. And I was going to work, it was snowing. And it's right there at that bridge, between them two bridges, it got to be a wind tunnel there. My truck just come up, the front end just went up, I was lucky, y'all, and went down that hill, look out there where, you know, where you, it's kind of downhill but it's level. I just got by the creek part, and I had to go all the way down and back up on the highway. I looked on the other side, another truck did the same thing, but they wasn't lucky. A car, when he swerved, another car hit him. That's the truth. And that boy, and I wouldn't go up by 30 or 35, but there's something wrong there. That truck just rolls up like, boy, that was the frightening thing I ever, I knew I was gone. I knew that was it. Oh, boy, that was two. But it's a wind, it got to be a wind tunnel or something, because those cars, I'm telling you, I never seen nothing like that.
A week ago or so, I went to the Illinois Development Summit, and Casey Bassett, who's a special assistant to Deputy Secretary of the Department of Transportation, was there, and I stopped him and talked to him afterwards and asked him about the situation, and I always bring it up when I have an opportunity. And he said they were looking at the numbers, which I don't know what that really means. Of course, it could mean anything, but the other thing he said is, and gave me his card and said if I ever wanted to talk to him, that he comes through Champaign all the time and he would talk to somebody. So that's why I'm bringing it to you to see if, you know, I don't know if he wants to talk to the whole group or what, but we do have this information. He sounds like he's willing to discuss it, at least, if we want to try to do that. So I'm just throwing that out to see what he wants.
We've had two meetings scheduled with the secretary, and both of them have been canceled at the last minute, not just for the county, but for the, you know, everybody in the transportation industry. So, and I know they're trying to schedule another one. I don't know, sometime this fall. But probably get that one scheduled, and that one will get canceled at the last minute, too.
I'd rather have that meeting with everybody than try to talk to this person, unless you just want to talk to them. But if it doesn't work, maybe we should try
yeah.
it. But I'll let you decide this for you.
Okay, is there any other business? Seeing we'll stay another hour.
Well, I'd just like to say I think it was an enjoyable meeting this morning. Very creative.
See you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
First 2 weeks of October, I haven't seen Champagne or Bannon in a while.